Hello and welcome to the Society for Neo-Latin Studies podcast. My name is Dennis W. and today we are literally going to reach for the stars by examining the Neo-Latin poet Giovanni Pontano. Pontano was an academic and literary jack of all trades in the 15th century, a fact which his friend Egidio da Viterbo concisely described in a letter. He wrote, "Philosophum te philosophi faciunt, vatem vates, mathematici mathematicum, ancipiti unde cumque certamine, quae in te clarissimarum artium claritate praestet." The philosophers call you a philosopher, the poets a poet, the astrologers an astrologer, not true and hard fought, which of the splendid arts precedes the others by its splendor. Especially in one work we can find the whole scholarship of Pontano united, the astronomical astrological didactic poem Urania, which Pontano worked on for nearly the most time of his life and which he himself called his opus maximum, his masterpiece. But who was this man? On the 7th of May in the year 1428, the stars were favorable when Giovanni Pontano was born in Cereto, a small town in Umbria, Italy. After studying in Perugia, the skilled 18-year-old Pontano joined King Alfonso of Aragon, who was fighting against Florence in nearby Tuscany, and returned with him to Naples. Naples became his new home, not only as a place of residence, but even more as an academic home, because he became part of the well-known Neapolitan Academy led by Antonio Beccadelli, also known as Panomita. In this famous academic circle, which became later the Accademia Pontaniana, Pontano met the most important scholars of his time, like Giorgio da Trebisonda, who taught him Greek, Tolomeo Gallina, and the astrologer and poet Lorenzo Buoniconti. In this stimulating environment, in which scientific questions, but also works and poems written in Latin by the members of the Academy were presented and discussed, Pontano started to compose a poem which became a milestone in Neo-Latin poetry and a set book for subsequent generations, the Urania, 5 books about the stars, 6,049 elegant Latin hexameters which open up a path to the sky. Qui caelo radiant ignis, quae sidera mundo labanto tacito, stellis quivis emicet ingens signifer, ut quesus pergant errantia cursus, und dominum genus et pecudes, undae quart aurae concipiunt motus proprios, und optima tellus educet varios nunone semine foetus, et re reventus manans heresque futuri, dic dea, quae nomen caelo deduces ab ipso, Uranie, dic musa Jovis clarissima proles. Which fires shine in heaven, which stars move in the silent universe, with which stars the big zodiac glares, and how the planets perform their course, wherefrom mankind and animals, wherefrom water and air receive their own movements, wherefrom best earth create the different progenies, not coming from one seed, and events and the chronology of future emerge. Tell me, goddess, whose name derives from the heaven itself, Urania, tell me, Muse, most famous child of Jupiter." With these verses, Pontano opens his poem and shows his goal, on the one hand teaching which planets, signs of the zodiac and other stars adorn the heavens, that is to say, the astronomical knowledge, and on the other hand, which influences these celestial objects have on Earth, on the elements, and all creatures living there, which indicates the astrological part of this didactic poem. This first book of the Urania considers the five planets known at that time, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter and Saturnus, and also the Moon and the Sun. Pontano, taking the reader by the hand, crosses the spheres of the planets, beginning at the Moon and ending at Saturnus and the most remote part of the universe where the sphere of the fixed stars was located. Book 2 and the first half of Book 3, then, present one important part of these fixed stars, the zodiac, which is also nowadays well-known science. The rest of Book 3 and Book 4 are dedicated to the Paranatalontes, that are the constellations which rise and fall together with the single zodiacal signs. Finally, Book 5 treats a special astrological doctrine, the Choreographia, teaching which land on Earth is subjected to which zodiacal sign and planet. Whoever now guesses that reading the Urania may be difficult and exhausting is wrong. Of course, a basic understanding of astronomical and astrological issues is necessary, but Pontano has already explained the astrological doctrines in detail in his 13 books comprising treatise De Rebus Coelestibus over the celestial issues, in which he examines particularly ancient sources like Ptolemy and Firmicus Maternus. In the Urania, though, Pontano stands in the ancient idea that didactic poetry should teach, docere, as well as please the reader, delectare, and therefore he strives for more poetic and often mythological images of the sky. In his dialogue Actius, named after his friend and poet Jacopo Sannazaro, Pontano drafts his own poetics with the following words: Poete sive officium sive finem esse, dicere apposite ad admirationem. The poet's duty or purpose is to speak in an appropriate way to create admiration. And in order to please the reader and to gain admiration, Pontano creates many vivid and elegant episodes in well-sounding Latin to illustrate and to make the mostly astrological teaching accessible. A few verses taken from Book 1 of the Urania may illustrate this. After talking about Mercury and his influences, Pontano enters the sphere of Venus. Hinc felix regio mundique beatior ora, quam lusus habitant mollis, ubi signis amorum militia in vacuas ex ercet vulnera mentis. Ver alit aeternos flores, passimque vagantes in codus titae ludum per gramina nymphae. Then comes a happy region and more prosperous area of the universe, where fooling is at home, where the lazy military service of love inflicts wounds on idle minds. Spring nourishes eternal flowers, and nymphs, everywhere stavaging, play uncontrolled on the meadows. As you see, Pontano does not enumerate the effects the planet Venus may have, but he rather creates an expressive tableau, a paradise of love, also evoking aspects of ancient love elegy, like the Militia Amoris and the Locus Amenus, for Pontano wrote love poetry too. But this image, which aims at amazing the reader, also contains main astrological aspects of Venus, who represents the pars concupiscibilis, the appetent part of the soul. Pontano expands this image, this garden of love, in 29 other verses before Venus herself occurs. At the end, he describes the two different appearances of Venus as morning and evening star, which is the only astronomical information he gives. In book 2, 3 and 4, where Pontano talks about the signs of the zodiac and the other constellations, we find even whole mythological stories, Aitya and Katastarismoi, that are the myth of the origin of the constellations and often at the same time metamorphoses into the constellations. These passages do not stand on their own and for mere delight, but are integral part of the teaching of the poem through images and stories. He, for example, mentions the constellation of Cetus, which as an ascendant, that means that the constellation rises above the horizon at the time of birth, announces sea-loving man, and as a descendant, the constellation declines in the west, promises death at sea. It does not follow an ancient or new created myth, but the Sicilian legend of Colapesce, a man who turns to the sea more and more and finally is killed by the monster Charybdis. This inserted legend, vividly taught, has the purpose to illustrate the effect that the constellation Cetus can have on a newborn. As you see, for Pontano, astrology was a way to explain the world, the differences of people and their respective fortunes. At the end of his poem, Pontano gets personal. He grieves for the early death of his beloved daughter Lucia, but then he recognizes a new star in dawn. He identifies with his daughter, the last Catharism he describes. Giovanni Pontano himself died as an old man in 1503 after a long life as prime minister in the service of the King of Naples, and more important, after a long life as an influential and very productive Latin author and poet. By reaching out for the stars, he became a star himself.